Day 102, Wednesday, February 15th. Exodus 25. Exodus 25 1-40 NKJV. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and out you shall overlay it, and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side, and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be its length and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work you shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at 1 end, and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of 1 piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. You shall also make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, and make a molding of gold all around. You shall make for it a frame of a handbreadth all around, and you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings on the 4 corners that are at its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame, as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and flowers shall be of 1 piece. And 6 branches shall come out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. 3 bowls shall be made like almond blossoms on 1 branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower, and so for the 6 branches that come out of the lampstand. On the lampstand itself 4 bowls shall be made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower, and there shall be a knob under the first 2 branches of the same, a knob under the second 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the third 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of 1 piece, All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make 7 lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talon of pure gold, with all these utensils. And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. Daily Deep Dive. We will again begin today with an overview from the UCG reading plan. Now we read of plans for the construction of the tabernacle, where God said he would dwell on earth with the Israelites. Notice some points that one may otherwise quickly read over. Certain offerings were given by the Israelites. Only the offerings that were given willingly were to be accepted. God does not want us to give of necessity or with a begrudging attitude, but cheerfully and thankfully, 2 Corinthians 9:7. The Ark of the Testimony, elsewhere called the Ark of the Covenant, would contain the 2 tablets of the 10 commandments. Indeed, they were apparently the only items that were actually in the Ark. See 1 Kings 8:9. While Hebrews 9:4 does seem to say that the golden pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded were in the ark, it has been speculated that there was perhaps some kind of satchel attached to the side of the ark containing these items. Some have suggested that the pot and rod were originally in the ark and then removed, but it seems unlikely that someone would have lifted the ark's lid and trifled with its contents except perhaps for the one period in which it was taken by the Philistines and then peered into by the men of Beth Shemesh, 1 Samuel 6:19. However, God supernaturally made sure of the ark's return from Philistia and struck the men of Beth Shemesh for merely looking inside the ark. He mentions nothing about them taking any items from inside, and why would he not have ensured their return also? Still, it is possible that the manna and rod were in the ark to start with and later turned up missing. Beside the ark was placed the Book of the Covenant, Deuteronomy 31:26. All the items mentioned are testimonies, as if witnesses providing evidentiary testimony in court, of God's miraculous intervention for the children of Israel. Placed on top of the ark was the mercy seat, another testimony of God's everlasting mercy, which represented his very throne. God also gave understanding of the appearance of the cherubim, part of the angelic realm created in service to God. Embroidered patterns of cherubim were also woven into the curtains of the tabernacle, Exodus 26:1. The artistic representations of these wondrous creatures, which are described in greater detail in the book of Ezekiel, were the only images of heavenly beings permitted in God's worship system. They were, of course, not to be worshipped, and it is clear that there was no image of God in all of the tabernacle accoutrements, as was so common in pagan temples. The showbread, constituting 12 loaves for all the tribes of Israel, is itself described more fully in Leviticus 24:5-9. Its name derives from its symbolic placement before the face of God. Other translations render it bread of presence or bread of the presence. That is, it was in the presence of God, just as the nation of Israel was since God's presence was among them. The last verse of the chapter informs us that Moses was not only told how to make the implements, but he actually saw a heavenly pattern for them. Indeed, the book of Hebrews assures us that the tabernacle and the items within it were copies of the things in the heavens. And, verse 3, examples of items made from gold were the mercy seat and cherubim and the candlesticks. Examples of items covered in gold were the ark and the showbread table. Silver was used to make the sockets for the boards of the tabernacles, and later we will see instructions for Israel to make silver trumpets. Brass was used for the altar of burnt offerings, and its pans, shovels, basins, and rings. Verse 4. There seems to be a variety of opinions as to the true color that each of these words describes. Jarchi and Josephus both believe that the instruction was to bring various wool, garments, etc., that were dyed. to the same color, turned into yarn and woven and make various things such as the curtains, the veil and the priest's garments. The specific word for scarlet is interesting. Adam Clark's commentary states, signifies a worm, of which this coloring matter was made, and, joined, with shani, which signifies to repeat or double, implies that to strike. This color the wool or cloth was twice dipped, hence the Vulgate renders the original cacum bis tinctum, scarlet twice dyed, it is the same color, which the Arabs call al-kerms, whence the French cramoisy, and the English crimson. And, what's interesting to me is that this same word, most often translated scarlet in the KJV, 34 times, is also translated worm, 8 times, and is used of Jesus Christ in Psalm 22:6. Was this scripture referring to Jesus Christ as this particular worm or to the color of his body at the time of his crucifixion when he cried out? The first line of Psalm 22? John Gill records that Egypt had the best linen in the world and that we could assume that in the plundering of the Egyptians that the Israelites would have left Egypt with a considerable quantity. Goat's hair was used in the curtains and coverings. Adam Clark's commentary states, some goats have long, fine, and beautiful hair, in some cases almost as fine as silk, which they shear at proper times, and manufacture into garments. We learn that goat's hair manufactured into cloth was nearly of equal value with that formed from wool. And, verse 5, the word dyed is not in the Hebrew text. Adam Clark's commentary states, literally, the skins of red rams. It is a fact attested by many respectable travelers, that in the Levant sheep are often to be met with that have red or violet colored fleeces. And almost all ancient writers speak of the same thing. And, next, the NKJV translates badger skins, however it seems that this may not be a good translation. Adam Clark's commentary states, few terms have afforded greater perplexity to critics and commentators than this. Bashar has exhausted the subject, and seems to have proved that no kind of animal is here intended, but a color. And, John Gill's commentary has, the Septuagint version calls them hyacinth or blue skins, according to which, they seem to be the ram's skins dyed blue, and so Josephus seems to have understood it, and it is much questionable whether the same creature is meant we call the badger, since that with the Israelites was an unclean creature, nor is its skin made use of for shoes, or well could be, as the skin of this creature is said to be, as underscore 16:10. Jarchi says it was a kind of beast only at that time, and Ibn Ezra says, it was known in those days but not now. And, I surveyed a number of other translations and it seems the others use fine goatskin. Lastly, we come to a type of wood. The KJV always translates this wood as shittim from the Hebrew word, shitta or shittim. The NKJV uses acacia. While there is debate amongst a few different trees that grow in the wilderness and would have been available for use, I'm comfortable with the simple conclusion of Adam Clark's commentary, by some supposed to be the finest species of the cedar, by others, the Acacia nilotica, a species of thorn, solid, light, and very beautiful. This acacia is known to have been plentiful in Egypt, and it abounds in Arabia Deserta, the very place in which Moses was when he built the tabernacle, and hence it is reasonable to suppose that he built it of that wood, which was every way proper for his purpose. And, verse 6, olive oil for lights, various spices to create the anointing oil and sweet smells. Verse 7, regarding the onyx stone, Adam Clark states, we have already met with the stone called Shoham, Gen_2:12, and acknowledge the difficulty of ascertaining what is meant by it. Some think the onyx, some the sardine, and some the emerald, is meant. We cannot say precisely what it was, possibly it might have been that fine. pale pebble, called the Egyptian pebble. And, regarding the ephod, John Gill states, two onyx stones were set in the ephod, one of the garments of the high priest, and an onyx stone, with 11 other precious stones, were set in the breastplate of the high priest. These stones were doubtless among the jewels set in gold and silver the Israelites had of the Egyptians, and brought with them out of Egypt. And, Adam Clark goes into a lot of detail about what is known and unknown about the ephod. The ephod, it is very difficult to tell what this was, or in what form it was made. It was a garment of some kind peculiar to the priests, and ever considered essential to all the parts of divine worship, for without it no person attempted to inquire of God, as the word itself comes from the root of aid, he tied or bound close. Calmet supposes that it was a kind of girdle, which, brought from behind the neck and over the shoulders, and so hanging down before, was put cross upon the stomach, and then carried round the waist, and thus made a girdle to the tunic. Where the ephod crossed on the breast there was a square ornament, called chashan, the breastplate, in which 12 precious stones were set, each bearing one of the names of the 12 sons of Jacob engraven on it. There were two sorts of ephods, one of plain linen for the priests, the other very much embroidered for the high priest. As there was nothing singular in this common sort, no particular description is given, but that of the high priest is described very much in detail XO_28-6-8. It was distinguished from the common ephod by being composed of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine twisted linen, and cunning work, i.e., superbly ornamented and embroidered. This ephod was fastened on the shoulders with two precious stones, on which the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel were engraved, 6 names on each stone. And, verse 8, God instructs them to make a sanctuary, meaning holy place or sacred place, BDB. Verse 9, nothing was done by man's devising, but was based on patterns that God showed Moses. Verse 10, God instructs them to build an ark. This is not the same or even similar word to the ark that Noah was to build. This word means chest, box, coffin. It's the same word used for what Joseph's body was placed in after he died. Compare Genesis 50:26. This was approximately 4.5 feet long and 2.5 feet wide and again 2.5 feet high. Verse 17, the top of the ark was covered by the mercy seat. The length and width of the cover was the same as the ark, lower section. The word for mercy seat comes from a Hebrew word meaning to cover and is most often translated atonement in the KJV, compare Leviticus 23:28, to make atonement for you before the Lord. Verse 18, from JFB commentary, the real meaning of these figures, as well as the shape or form of them, is not known with certainty, probably similar to what was afterwards introduced into the temple, and described in Ezra 10:8-22. They stretched out their wings, and their faces were turned towards the mercy seat, Exodus 25:20, probably in a bowing attitude, verse 23. This table for the showbread was approximately 3.5 feet long by 1.75 feet wide by 2.5 feet tall. Verse 30, as this was all before God, it had to be of the finest quality, pure gold. Verse 31, here is a description of this lampstand from Adam Clark's commentary. This candlestick or chandelier is generally described as having one shaft or stock, with 6 branches proceeding from it, adorned at equal distances with 6 flowers like lilies, with as many bowls and knops placed alternately. On each of the branches there was a lamp, and one on the top of the shaft which occupied the center. Thus there were 7 lamps in all, Exodus 25:37. These 7 lamps were lighted every evening and extinguished every morning. We are not so certain of the precise form of any instrument or utensil of the tabernacle or temple, as we are of this, the golden table, and the two silver trumpets. Titus, after the overthrow of Jerusalem, AD 70, had the golden candlestick and the golden table of the showbread, the silver trumpets, and the book of the law, taken out of the temple and carried in triumph to Rome. And Vespasian lodged them in the temple which he had consecrated to the goddess of peace. And, I googled, candlestick from Arch of Titus to see what this may have looked like. Verse 40, any time God gives us instructions, we must be careful to follow them exactly.